Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and All Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. This is your J-pop king of America, King Baby Duck here, recording in beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. On today's show, we're going to be joined by our friend Scarlet Pretty Cure of Scarlet Rhapsody, and from Anime Jam Sessions, the recent college graduate DJ Ranma Satome and Mako-chan. We're going to be talking about the first half of the anime in 2014, the good, the bad, the surprising, and the disappointing. We'll also throw in a couple of older series that we'll talk about, shows that haven't quite aged as well as much as we'd like them to have. So, let's get this episode underway with some great music. Remember, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the artist's official site, and your local record store. We'll start things off with some Oblivion Dust. Some of you out there may be familiar with their guitarist Kaz, whom works alongside Lock on Seal's Hyde for their side project Vamps. Here's a cut from their 2012 album, Nine Gates from Bipolar. It's called Syndrome.
Thank you.
But Tokyo Biore, you may recognize that voice more from her more popular band, Duo's Infinity, whose songs have been used on many occasions for the Inuyasha anime series. And joining me right now are a couple of my pals from various other websites. First off, we've got, from Anime Jam Sessions, DJ Ranma Satome.
Heyo!
And Mako-chan.
Hello!
And then joining us from Scarlet Rhapsody, Scott Pierdecure.
Hey guys!
So, we are all here talking about the first half of 2014 in anime, as it is July, because we're playing around, of course, and pretending it is July right now, but it will be July when this episode airs. The first half of anime, the good, the bad, and what we're looking forward to in the second half of 2014. Even though I could probably guess what everybody is looking forward to in the second half.
Cool.
Yes. So I figured, all right, where should we start? The good or the bad? And I figured, you know what? I feel like it's always good to talk about the bad stuff because you don't want to feel uncomfortable talking about something good when there's the bad stuff that's just waiting right in the corner to be talked about. So it's like talking about something good when we have to go to the bathroom. Or to put it bluntly, you gotta take a big giant shit. Mm. And that big giant shit is deserving of the worst anime of 2014. So I feel if we talk about the shitty anime right now, we'll feel all nice and good and comfortable when we talk about the good anime.
Are you sure about that?
I think so. I mean, haven't you ever had to go to the bathroom and while you're talking about something good and it just doesn't feel right when you're trying to talk about something good because you have to go to the bathroom?
Sounds like a couple of jobs I've had, so yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So I figured we won't start with the most really bad one right now. I figured let's talk about anime that has disappointed us. You know, anime that may not have been totally bad, but there was really some things wrong with it, and that you had high expectations for, and you just didn't get what you were looking for in the end. Scarlet, why don't you go first? What's an anime that really disappointed you this time around?
You know what? I really don't keep up with like shows that are like moe or like slice of life because I feel it's so derivative and just so cookie cutter. And like, okay, I'm all right. What's next? So I just tend to avoid things that look like it in this genre and just only stick to the good titles. So I apologize if I have nothing to contribute to this segment of the show because I just try to stick with like what's good for the season. But yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
Alright. In that case, why don't we move on to Mako-chan? Was there an anime this year that disappointed you?
I will probably get a lot of flack for it, but the last anime that I didn't really like was actually Kill la Kill.
Hang her from a tree.
Really now? Alright, so what disappointed you about Kill la Kill?
If I want half-naked girls that are somewhat funny, sarcastic, and, you know, a tall guy that is kind of commandeering and asshole-ish, I'll stick with, you know, some panty and stocking.
But that's the thing. It's one of the same guys who did panty and stocking.
I know, but I don't like how this one turned out. Although, I have seen the dub clip, and I actually like the dub clip.
Yeah, and that kind of disappoints me that you'll have to pay $40 for the 4 episodes to get said dub clip, or get the full episodes.
40 episodes? You must be getting it from Right Stuff, because they're talking $60.
$60? No, dude. No, how it is, it's $40 for 4 episodes, but if you want the collector's edition, it costs $80 for the soundtrack, too.
So it's just $40 for, like, just a plain 4 episodes, bare basics version of Kill la Kill Volume 1.
Yes.
Whoa.
That is bullshit.
I'll be patient.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I don't know. I'll wait and see if I actually like the dub enough to buy it.
Yeah, fair enough. It's otherwise, you could just watch it on Crunchyroll or even on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, for me, when it comes to disappointing anime, I don't know how familiar you guys are with like Mazinger Z or Get a Robo.
Hell yeah!
So this year there was a parody of those popular robot animes called Robot Girls Z. And it took those robots and turned them into sort of like magical girls of sorts. And initially, it was really funny. It was very entertaining. And we were told that they were going to have 9 episodes of the show. But then what they didn't tell you was those 9 episodes meant the 3 episodes and 1 episode. So the 3 segments, they counted the 3 episodes. So technically, you only got 3 episodes of the show. And because of that, the whole thing was rushed. The characters didn't develop the way that they should have. The humor felt somewhat bad. And the ending was just way too anticlimactic. It made you want to see more. It made it seem like that there was going to be more. But then when they said, oh, nope, that's the end. Gonna have no more Robot Girl Z. It just really disappointed me after hearing so much about this show.
Now I want to see this out of morbid curiosity.
It is. It's on Crunchyroll. You can watch it on there. It's entertaining. It starts off really entertaining, but then when it gets into like the third segment in episode 2, I believe, or it's either the first segment in episode 3, they just rush everything. They say, "All right, we ran out of time. Boom. Here's everything that we were gonna stretch out that could have been stretched out into 6 more episodes, done in like less than 30 minutes." And it's just really bullshit, and it just kind of pissed me off. So, Ranma, what about you? What disappointed you this year?
I don't know. I didn't watch too many, so whatever's coming up for me, I really enjoyed, if anything. But if I could go into the Wayback Machine for 1 second.
Go ahead.
There's probably something I have watched that I have completely walked away from that left me disappointed. Even though I gave it the benefit of a doubt, I already knew going in it wasn't going to be that bad. It could be quite worse.
Okay.
I might get flack for this, but most people probably would agree when I say Bubblegum Crisis 2040.
So the remastering that just came out of that?
No, not that. No, I'm not talking about the digital remasters, but what happened, they did a remake of the series called Bubblegum Crisis 2040 about 10 plus years ago, and I bought all 3 volumes, and I'm like, I'm a big fan of the original series. I know it's going to be different. How much different can it be? Yeah, I kind of walked away when I found out that the hard suits were only, they only gave them 45 minutes of battery life in the hard suits. So I was like, you know what? Screw this. I will probably get around to finishing this series depending on how much alcohol I have in my fridge.
You mean what's left of what you got from PAX East? Or that technically that's probably gone already. Long gone. That was probably gone on day 1.
There's a little bit left. Just a little bit.
There is?
Yeah.
I'm very surprised.
Most people are.
What was something so bad this year? Something just horrible. Something bad.
I've got one of those for you.
Okay.
Marvel Discords the Avengers.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Japan basically took the Avengers and turned them into Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. It's Digimon / Pokemon. The whole thing is that Stark Industries created this mechanical mechanism thing that was able to transport large amounts of, you know, shipping and things like that in sort of a digital compressed world. Well, obviously, Loki freed a bunch of the Avengers' enemies, and together they crashed the release party for it, and then locked all the Avengers into these discs. So then a couple of kids were chosen to use these discs to call forth the Avengers to battle and fight their enemies. Thus, you have Marvel Disc Wars, the Avengers.
Yeah. I've actually seen this, and to me, it's a guilty pleasure. I mean, like, yeah, it's a kid's show, and I've only seen maybe, like, two episodes, one being the first episode, and the latest episode had Wasp dressed up as a gothic Lolita, because there was this episode where all the kids are in the city, like, one of them goes to, like, this toy store, and he fanboys all over the mecha toys, and one of the girls, she goes into, like, a Lolita boutique. To me, it's just a guilty pleasure, and I'll probably just catch it randomly on Toon Disney, because it's probably gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, it is targeted towards boys that are 6 to 12 years of age, but at the same time, it screws with Marvel so much that, like, as a Marvel fan myself, I can't wrap my head around some of the stuff. I mean, I enjoy that it brings in a lot of the characters that have been in the movies. It brings in Coulson. It brings in, you know, a bunch of those types of characters. But at the same time, it so screws with the continuity of the movies, of the comics, of everything like that, and makes it so juvenile that it's really hard to get into that way.
Yikes. That's... When you screw with the canon, especially with Marvel canon, it's just awful. That's just bad.
But anything for a buck.
Yep, anything for a buck.
Hey, at least TMR does a theme song.
What? That's not so bad.
Who does the theme song?
TMR. TM Revolution.
Oh.
Yeah, that's really? I'm not saying anything wrong about the music. The music is actually pretty good in it.
Which means he had to be one of the characters in the anime.
Mm-hmm.
He has a contract where if he does an anime, a song for the series, he has a minor role in the series.
So who did he play in Soul Eater then?
I have no idea, but I do know he was in Gundam Seed. I know that much.
Well, that's because he's a hardcore Gundam fan. He did a whole Gundam covers album. And speaking of which, why wasn't Andrew WK in the Gundam series? Why hasn't he shown up yet?
Because there is no more Bandai USA.
Well, he's still pretty big in Japan over there, so they could at least put a part in something in there for him.
We take him.
Yep. Alright. So, while you're speaking, Ranma, what's, like, the worst anime you've seen so far this year?
Let's see... Can't say I can say that I've seen something that was bad this year. Can't say.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I'm surprised.
That makes two of us.
Scarlet?
Again, it's really hard for me to say because what I've been watching is just stuff that's been pretty decent. I've been quite surprised because I've just been so jaded with new anime for the past couple of years. But to piggyback off Ranma, if you go like just a year ago, I was quite disappointed with the new Genji Ken. Just didn't really feel like following the adventures of Fujoshi. I'm like, okay, I'm done after two episodes.
Okay, I need to crack my bones a little bit here because the one that I have to talk about is probably one of the worst anime series that I have ever seen in my life.
I know what
life.
You're talking about.
You do know what I'm talking yes. about. And when I wrote my review for this anime, I started out with that quote that Hayao Miyazaki said about this is why the anime industry is now full with otaku. And this show is a prime example of what he was talking about. Really awful story, one-dimensional characters, horrible music, and a protagonist character that just so happens to be so perfect that she could never exist in real life.
The fuck?
I'm talking about Super Sonico.
Oh, Jesus Christ on a stick.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have a few... There's a few fanboys of hers on my Facebook. I'm like, y'all need to leave. Y'all need to leave.
Super Sonico is a show that showcases everything that's wrong in anime. It's the epitome of what Hayao Miyazaki was talking about. The people in the show, the script, the story, it's boring. It's dull. The characters are stupid. Just everything about it is just so bad. And the thing that pisses me off so much, as someone that is a music critic on top of everything else, it's when she has that rock band of hers, and I am totally doing quotation marks over rock band. because every time she says rock band, I want to go through the TV screen, pop into anime realm, and want to punch her in the face. Because what she is doing is not rock music. It is shitty pop idol garbage. If you want to torture somebody with this anime, you should. If there's someone that you really hate, really despise, if you want to strap them in a chair and force them to watch something god-awful, have them force watch Super Sonico. Because it's just everything that's wrong in the industry. And you know, when I was at Anime Boston this year, I actually avoided every single Super Sonico cosplay there because of my hatred of the show.
You want to know what's really interesting? I have yet to see any Super Sonico cosplay, but one of my friends, Sarah Feta, out on the West Coast, she actually did a Super Sonico cosplay shoot. So
she should be ashamed of herself. I'm sorry. I never say that about people who cosplay about certain characters. But when it comes to Super Sonico, if you cosplay as one of the characters, for shame on you. For shame on you for promoting such a god-awful television series.
I see some of those quote-unquote popular cosplayers on Facebook, the ones with like all the like pages and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I see them do like pin-up B-style Super Sonico photo shoots. Like, oh, some people actually cosplay from this. Okay. Moving on.
I'm sorry. It's like, I can't even speak about Super Sonico anymore because it's just so terrible that I just want the taste of it out of my mouth. I sat through 8 episodes of it because as an anime critic, you try to watch as much as you can before he tells you to stop. And even though the show just kept getting worse and worse and worse, I still had to watch it just to see if there was really anything decent about it. Anything good that I could say about it. And there wasn't. There was nothing of any... It's just awful, it is shit, and I am still pissed off over the fact that it got a U.S. license.
Really?
Sentai Filmworks licensed Super Sonico, the animation.
Yeah.
Well, anything to promote a mascot, what can I tell you?
But that's the thing. There are so many better comedies out there that haven't been licensed yet. But no, instead we get garbage. We get garbage sent to us from Japan in the form of Super Sonico.
Go on, tell us how you really feel.
I'm actually sweating right now. That's how much I despise the show. That's how much it fills me with so much rage. That a show like this... It's going to be getting the whole American licensing dub treatment when it just doesn't deserve to even be mentioned within the anime realm. It should just be buried 6 feet under and forgotten about. But it probably won't because, you know, horny fanboys.
Make that money.
Yeah, they got money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why AKB48 is always on the charts. Because horny fanboys
and psychotic ones.
Well, they're in the same group, somewhat. All right, why don't we take a quick musical break and we can then talk about good stuff. We can talk about good anime.
Yay!
Hold you to.
All right, so right now we're gonna spin a track from the Hellfire Club record label mixtape Dorner vs. Tuki, which features prominent underground rappers like Bus Driver, No Can Do, A$AP Rock, and Tourist Scott, just to name a few. Here's a cut from Open Mike Eagle. It's called Qualifiers.
Hey guys, hey.
I see the deepest screams, I hear the darkest blues. Might not be synesthesia, might be apartment fumes. Could get up and dance. I will wipe my son's ass and get shit on my hands. He get in the car and be like, daddy, play some Bus Drive. Why the fuck it take 2 lines to do a one-liner? And why it take 3 beats to do a two-step? 6 days, I got 2 left, so I take 5. They boo back, I make jazz jokes, so I'm flat broke. Mad at lost in that black smoke. Fuck you if you're a white man that assumes I speak for black folks. Fuck you if you're a white man that thinks I can't speak for black folks. Let that soak in your rap quotes, if your head hurt and your back broke. Have black soap and have crack smoke. I admit that this an imperfect blend. Hold up, it's my turn again. I'm playing 13 games of words with friends. Lift your hands, lift your head if your clothes clean and your kids fed. Mind potty trans, so if you piss the bed, then he can tell I'm heated like like infrared, yeah.
We the best mostly, sometimes the freshest rhymers. We the tightest kinda, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers. We the best mostly, sometimes the freshest rhymers. We the tightest kinda, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers, respect mine, respect mine.
They say they looking for me, but I don't wanna hear it. You can find me at the Park District volunteering. With my hair disheveled and my sneakers scuffed. Or use your GPS and get your selling features up. I went to Africa, they played me on the radio. And did I weird the people out? Yeah, maybe so. Cause all they knew was jive, and all I do is vibe. And Bright Green Light made the program director lose his mind. He said, what type of rap is that? Ain't no bitches hoes. And I ain't even being funny, homie didn't know. Should've said it's whimsical, like Serengeti taught me. My thoughts are very lofty, response time is very faulty. I'm far too young to lead, and way too old to die. I ain't play Call of Duty, smoke you in golden eye. RPG roll to die, JPG Cobra tie, PG-13 Cobra Kai, PPG look Robotai.
We the best mostly, sometimes the freshest rhymers. We the tightest kinda, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers. We the best mostly, sometimes the freshest rhymers. We the tightest kinda, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers, respect my qualifiers. Respect my qualifiers, respect mine, respect mine.
I don't want you to hear me singing. I didn't sing a line before this one. And you were not the one I was addressing. That person took a train to Africa. And simultaneous events don't happen. We're isolated temporarily. And the God is ever called the whole thing. And it bothers us to know it's so.
Stop!
Gray with Clever Sleazoid from their Marrow of a Bone LP. They released a new single early this year called Sustain the Untruth, which hopefully means a new album is on its way. Are you guys fans of Dorian Gray at all?
I'm a bit of a fan. I like them.
I've seen them live twice. I saw them when they were headlining for, I think it was like a Hot Topic sponsored tour. And then I saw them again when they were playing with Apocalyptica. They do a really good show.
Mm.
Now that we've talked about some bad anime, let's talk about good anime of 2014. The stuff that surprised us. The stuff that I think is going to stick with us forever till the test of time, hopefully. So, why don't we start with shows that surprised us? How about you go first, Ranma?
Alright. Now, this show kind of surprised me because I kind of went in with a clear mind thinking, okay, it's from the same people that did Gurren Lagann, and my friends went nuts about it. I have the series, and I enjoyed it. So I wasn't sure what to expect, more or less. My surprise was Kill la Kill.
Yeah.
Because I was not expecting our hero to come in guns blazing from jump. Usually that doesn't happen for a few episodes in. You figure out what's going on, then you play. It's just fight after fight after fight after fight.
It's one of those anime series that just has total fuck yeah moments.
Yes, and then when you think you got to that point where you're gonna, this is it, wait, this actually happened here? I'm really enjoying Kill la Kill.
Alright, so Mako-chan, since that was your most disappointing anime, what do you have to say about Rama's choice of that being his surprising anime?
I'm not surprised that it's his, like, one of the good ones for him, because it reminds me of something that he would be into. Yeah, that's really all I can say about that one. I'm not surprised he would pick something like that. I'm surprised that he's actually watched the full thing, though, because he has a habit of watching a couple of episodes and then forgetting about it.
I ain't gonna lie about that.
So that's pretty surprising.
Well, that just shows how much he really enjoyed it. He's like, okay, I gotta wait for the next episode. All right, next episode's up. I gotta stop everything what I'm doing right now and gotta start watching it. And, you know, there's a couple anime series I do that with, too. But, Scarlett, what surprised you so far this year?
Just also piggyback off of Kill la Kill, that also surprised me, too, because normally I don't really follow popular anime. I'm kind of a hipster like that. But I decided to, like, you know what, let me just give this a chance because you told me to give it a chance. And not only was I surprised just how good and just so action-packed and over-the-top it was, I was also surprised that it takes off a lot from a lot of classic anime I grew up with. Like, I can compare it to Eiko. It has a similar structure to Project Eiko. Ryuko, that's pretty much Eiko. Satsuki, she's pretty much Biko. Mm-hmm. And Mako is totally Seiko. And then there's just other little nuances here, too. Like, the whole structure of the student council, this girl taking up on the student council, that reminds me of Utena. So, there's actually a whole website that lists all, like, the referential stuff in Kill la Kill from classic anime. I still need to finish up the series. I'm about 5 episodes away, so I'm all on the Mommy Dearest arc, if you will. So, yeah, Mommy Dearest. So, yeah, I still just need to finish it up, and I look forward to just finishing up because I've heard great things about it.
Excellent. So, for me, my surprise for anime is a show that, initially I thought it was going to be just another weird romantic comedy with another one of those annoying little sister sidekick tag-along things, but this one show called Engaged to the Unidentified, like, really, really, like, shocked me as to how good the writing was in the show, and the things that I don't usually like in those sorts of anime series, they actually got right. And that doesn't happen often in anime at all. Because you have this couple who's brought together because of an arranged marriage, and the two of them just have, like, no idea how to react to them being,
like an arranged marriage. And most anime series, you just have them just jumping in, sometimes feeling lovey-dovey, or in the case of like Ranma One Half, they would start bickering back and forth. Oh, I don't want to marry her. No, why would I want to marry him? That sort of thing. But this time around, it's more of these two people getting to know each other and trying to be comfortable in the same room, trying to be comfortable with the situation that they've been put in. And they do it in kind of a really sweet way. And then you have the older sister, Benio, who kind of acts sort of like the clingy sister. She kind of acts like lovey-dovey, like, no one can have my little sister, only I can have it. And sometimes when an anime does that, it's like incredibly creepy. If you guys probably know what I'm talking about. You've seen a lot of anime that does that. Here in Engaged to the Unidentified, it's more funny, it's more lighthearted, and they actually give a more of a reason to why she's more clingy to her little sister. Have any of you watched an episode of Engaged to Unidentified yet?
I have not.
Nope, but it sounds interesting. I might have to check it out. It's on Crunchyroll?
Yep, it is on Crunchyroll.
Excellent.
And what I like to, usually I find the little sister, or would you say that's the little Emoto sister? Is that
just little sister? Yeah, Emoto is kind of repetitive. You could say little Emoto.
Yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes gets like, she usually gets very annoying in most anime series, but here she actually has like the funny punchline to all the discussions, and for me that's actually refreshing. And also, it's got probably two of my favorite openings and ending themes for 2014.
Oh.
What about you, Mako-chan? What's your surprise for 2014?
I haven't really watched a lot of the 2014 stuff, but what I did watch, I liked right off the bat. It wasn't really surprising. This one is actually late fall, early winter of 2013, and it's called My Mental Choices Are Completely Interfering with My School Romantic Comedy.
Oh, God.
That is the entire name of the anime, and it's hilarious. I did not think I would like it as much as I did.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I'm sorry, but that's another show that I really hated.
I don't know what it was. I guess because it was just so wacky and kind of out there, I really, really enjoyed it.
You see, usually I like that sort of stuff in anime when it's wacky and out there, but for some reason, in that specific anime, I just didn't think it was funny. I thought they were pushing the fan service way too hard in that show, and I really couldn't enjoy it. And it's, you know, normally I like the lowbrow humor, like of Go Nagai or of like Kanakamatsu. But just here, for me, it just didn't work. I know, I'm sorry that I'm bashing something that you really like, but I just really didn't like My Mental Choices.
No, that's fine. I don't care that you didn't like it. But, like, I was just surprised at how much I did like it. Mainly because everything I saw was, you know, it was these cutesy girls, and I thought, oh, yeah, it's going to be nothing but fan service. But what I watched of it, it was hilarious. It reminded me a lot of Tenchi. And what would happen if, you know, Washu got a hold and had a control of Tenchi? I think that's why I liked it so much.
Okay, fair enough. So why don't we talk about our favorites so far of 2014? Why don't you start, Scarlett?
Oh, I have a few. First off, I really enjoyed the second season of Love Live. And just to recap things, the second season picks off where the first season left off. So now you have the group of the idols who want to go on to like this national competition. So you see them like going to preliminaries, and they have like this rival idol group from an idol school that they're going up against. I mean, as simple as it sounds, I like the music, I like the character designs, and as an added bonus, if any of you guys are into classic rock, there actually is a Halloween episode where they're going out through different costumes of what to wear for the Halloween concert, and one of their choices is actually based off the group Kiss, so they're actually in, like, Kiss outfits.
And I was about to ask about that, because I was trying to figure out what was the plot line for that episode.
It's in episode 6. It's a standalone episode, so if you wanted to just like check out Love Live for yourself without knowing too much about it, watch episode 6 of season 2. That's when you'll see them in the Kiss outfits. And it's just, to me, it's just really cute. And you have like the story of friendship, and these girls have this dream to be in nationals, and I thought it was fun. I also, as far as action goes, my JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, but I figure we'll probably discuss that like later in the episode, because I think that's also on your list too.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'll save it for that. As far as shoujo anime goes, Happiness Charge Pretty-Cure, it is one of the better Pretty-Cure series to come out in Heartcatch. So it does take like a different... It's a different take on children's shoujo, because you have like different factions of Pretty-Cure teams around the world. There's actually a Pretty-Cure American team, and there actually is the Pretty-Cure killer. So I'm on that arc right now. I still have yet to catch up, but it's really interesting how they're doing Happiness Charge Pretty-Cure. Just trying to think of other favorites from this season, but those are the ones that pretty much stand out. I have been watching, I forgot what it's called, but it's called the gay fishing anime. That's what it's pretty much known to, like, most fangirls I know.
What do you mean, the gay fishing anime?
I forgot what it's called, but a lot of my friends who, like, are into, like, sports anime involving boys call it the gay fishing anime. I don't really see anything to boys love about it, but I can see where girls might have, like, headcanons. But it's a comedy. It's about a boy who moves to a rural part of Japan, and his fishing skills are dependent on the fate of the world. It sounds so corny, but...
Hell?
I know, and he's guided by this alien and his sister who take on human forms, and I'm like, okay, this sounds so awesomely bad that I gotta watch this. But the animation is very well done. It's very pastel, the colors are really soft, and I actually really do like the characters. And then there's a cat that looks a lot like a Marmalade version of Machine, and that's pretty much sold me into it. The cat that looks like Machine, but Marmalade. And also, finally, I've been watching the volleyball anime, Haikyuu, only because I really like the main character. He has this passion to, like, play sports, and you just see him really into it, and it's a character like that that makes you want to, like, follow him and root for him. So
is this, like, free, but with volleyball?
Yeah, and if Kenny Loggins was doing the opening song, the opening song would be Playing with the Boys, and if anyone gets that reference, we can be friends.
Top Gun.
Yeah. I'm going to aim for that. You just watch.
All right, so it looks like Rama found that fishing anime. It's called Suritama.
Yep, that's the one. I saw the first 3 episodes, and it's pretty good. I highly recommend it.
Okay. All right, how about you, Ranma? What's your picks for so far in 2014?
Well, I got one pick. Now, I'm not the biggest Gundam fan out there. I think the whole series as a whole is pretty good. I got my start on Wing, and I started watching War in the Pocket, G Gundam, Seed a little bit. It was just like, I just couldn't keep up with it. Because to me, it got to the point where every series is just one and the same. Until a friend of mine told me about this new Gundam series, I'm like, what makes this any different? And he tells me, they're building Gunplas. And I'm like, tell me more. So, I have to say my favorite series would have to be Gundam Build Fighters. Or, as I like to call it, Gundam Build Fighters, a.k.a. Angelic Lair for Boys.
But isn't Angelic Lair for Boys still technically Angelic Lair?
True, but it is a shoujo series which was pushed forward towards girls, so you know. It's like girls have Angelic Lair, the boys have Gundam Build Fighters, you know?
Okay. So,
yeah.
Alright. What can people watch? Is that on like Crunchyroll to watch or
I don't think it's on Crunchyroll. You gotta search around for it in order to catch this series. Because like I said, Bandai doesn't have a U.S. arm anymore, really. And that is a Bandai series.
So you gotta go into like a CD back alley to try and find it.
Yeah. I mean, most likely, if you just go onto YouTube, you'll find the series. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
Yeah.
So, for me, I gotta start off with the show that 3 out of 4 of us seem to be really liking, Kill la Kill, because I know you guys already talked about what you really liked about it, and then one of you talked about what you really didn't like. It's funny, the things that you don't like about it, Mako-chan, are the things that Scarlett, Ranma, and myself actually like about it. It's like, for me, it's like everything that feels that's right in Japanese anime is in this show. Because you've got the great story, you've got really cool characters, kick-ass music. I got the soundtrack when that came out. I like imported that from Japan when that came out. And that's the soundtrack that I just like, you know, getting pumped up to. You got the badass fights and what I love too is when it comes to the comedy, when it comes especially with the character Mako, she has like a very Go Nagai like vibe to her, which is why I love her. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a show called Doron Ron Enmakun.
I haven't.
It's on Crunchyroll to watch. But if you watch Enmakun, if you watch all of it, and then you look at the character of Mako in Kill la Kill, Mako is the personification of everything that happens in Enmakun. And I just thought that was really cool. And for me, that's like the absolute best I've seen so far in anime. But there is one show that I thought has been really good. And usually when it comes to Yuri anime, it's not very good. It doesn't surprise you. It's not that entertaining. It's all fan servicey. But then someone told me about a show called Sakura Trick, which is also on Crunchyroll. And it's about these two girls. They are best friends, and they wind up entering high school, and they decide to actually become girlfriends. And you know, they seal their relationship with a kiss and everything. And I've seen like the first like four episodes of it, and it's very funny. It's very entertaining. I wouldn't say it's like totally realistic. Like, you wouldn't see like this happen probably in a lesbian relationship. I don't know. I'm not the right person to ask that. But entertainment-wise, comedy-wise, story-wise, character-wise, it's actually a pretty good show. So, what about you, Mako-chan? What's been your favorite anime so far of 2014?
I actually have two that I really, really enjoy. One is Black Bullet, and I don't know exactly what it is about this show, because, you know, the first episode was kind of slow and kind of, you know, it really didn't grab me, but I was, you know, I was home and I figured, you know what, I just sit and watch it. By the third episode, I was hooked. Basically, something happens in Tokyo, and like there's these giant bugs that basically you find out that it's people have been turned into these bugs because of a virus, and the only people that can really destroy them are the children of pregnant women who were infected while they were pregnant.
Wait. How's that happen?
Basically, the women that were pregnant, if they are, like, if they get something in their eyes, if they're spit on, if, like, the venom gets into them, basically it doesn't affect the woman, it affects the child, and the child becomes, like, a half-virus thing. And the whole premise is that these children are taken, I think they're all, like, 7 or 8 years old, they're taken, and whatever virus infected them, like, they're all based off of animals and bugs and things like that. Whatever virus infects them, that's the powers that they have. So, like, there's one that's infected with a rabbit, and she's able to jump faster and, like, run faster and things like that. So she jumps, she runs, and they are basically partnered up with somebody that uses guns, uses ammo, to try and kill them. And there's a certain metal that they find destroys the virus. And this whole thing basically comes around this one group, this one duo, And it's really, really interesting. There's 13 episodes of it, so it's a short series. But it's definitely one that I would suggest to people that are kind of like that, like the dot hack kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I was a big fan of dot hack's sign, so maybe I should check that one out.
During that time where like the viruses are infecting the world and all of that, and you don't know who like who's friend, who's foe, when the NPCs start getting a little bit more human, and then they start turning on you, that's what it reminds me of a lot. Because these girls, if they while they're in battle, if they damage too much, I think the threshold is like 85%. If they go over that threshold, they actually turn into one of these virus bugs. So then all of a sudden, the person that they've been working with has to go ahead and kill them. So it adds a little bit of drama in that way. So, I mean, it's kind of cool.
Excellent.
And I really like it. The other one that I like is The Irregular at Magic High School. And basically, again, I like the fantasy kind of... The fantasy kind of things. So this one is there are schools for magic users, and magic users are the ones that basically fight everything, because the world has gone through like all the world wars and everything like that. So the only thing left are these magic users. So they basically decided to, you know, we're not going to have, you know, a lot of wars. We're just going to send the kids to school, and then like whatever happens, happens after that. So this whole thing revolves around this one school that it's a brother and sister team. The sister gets into the higher grades. She passed the tests, so she's a bloom. And her brother, who didn't pass the tests, is considered, he's designated as a weed. So he's still able to go to school and go to the classes and everything, but he's basically seen as cannon fodder if fights happen. And throughout the series, you find out that while he may be a weed, he actually has more power than most of the bloons there. And the power that he has is so different from everybody else that basically he can kick everybody's butt. And he doesn't have like issues or anything like that with people. But I was just... It was very interesting to watch. So that's another one that I suggest. It's if you like the whole fantasy magic kind of thing.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Is that on Crunchyroll?
Yes, both of them are.
Okay, terrific. All right, now before we move on to the anime that we're looking forward to most in the second half, I just got some pretty interesting breaking news from Crunchyroll. Where Crunchyroll is going to be streaming the English dub of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardust Crusaders.
Did you see the cast for that already?
Yeah,
oh my
Matthew
god.
Matthew Mercer is Jotaro, Richard Epcar is Joestar, and Patrick Seitz is Dio.
My man!
Okay, did you say Matt Mercer is attached to this?
Yep, he's Jotaro.
Okay, that blows one of my theories out the water in regards to Sailor Moon Crystal. Let's just leave it at that.
Really?
Well, the entire voice cast is on lockdown, and people are saying Matt Mercer as Chiba Mamoru. I've been trolling people saying it's Vic Mignogna. So,
I don't get why people would bitch about Vic Mignogna being Mamoru. I think he'd do a fine job. He wouldn't do the best job, but I think if he was given the role, I think he'd do a fine job.
That's another story. That's another story for another podcast. I'll take up that much time. But I don't see them giving Matt Mercer or somebody else two lead roles in two concurrent running series. I don't see that.
So maybe Matt Mercer, if he is involved with Sailor Moon Crystal, maybe he might take one of the smaller roles in the show?
I could see that.
He could probably be Artemis.
No.
Or he could probably be Alan in the R Part 1.
I could see that.
Yeah, I can kind of see that too.
He could also be one of the generals. They don't tend to last long.
Yeah, he could probably be
Zoicide.
Yeah, he could probably be Zoicide.
Shots fired.
Yeah. So I think that'll segue into the anime that we're looking forward to in the second half. And let's face it, Sailor Moon Crystal is what everybody is talking about. But my question is it going to live up to the hype?
Good question.
Okay. I think so. I think so. You always have the people that really enjoyed the original more. You'll always have the people that enjoy the manga more. But I think true fans while watching this are going to see exactly what they've wanted to see from the series for as long as it's been active.
You know, I'm still questionable about the show myself. I know it's going to be great, but I know this is going to sound stupid. It's going to sound weird, but just the way that the show looks right now, I know it kind of somewhat stays true to the original manga, but for me, it's as someone that grew up on watching Sailor Moon and how Usagi and Ami and all the other Sailor Scouts look in that show, to see them appear on the show the way they do, sort of like in the Pretty Cure fashion, it's kind of weird.
Miss Dream actually translated one of the interviews that was in one of the magazines, and I'm just trying to find that freaking part. The Anime July interview was translated by Miss Dream, and part of it was asked, Ms. Sako, as you worked on your designs, what things did you focus on? And she goes, for me, it isn't a remake. It's the first anime based on the original manga. The only thing is that the original manga is 20 years old, so I had to match the illustration styles while making it more modern and also more anime-like. The hurdles were pretty high. I started with the cover illustrations from the Perfect Edition manga as the base for my designs. So it's not necessarily the manga exactly, but like the Perfect Edition, the art stuff, like the art books, those kind of designs are what this is based off of, not necessarily the finished manga.
What do you guys think about that? What do you think of that, Rama?
Okay, now this is how I look at it. I look at Sailor Moon Crystal the same way I look at how they do the Marvel movies. It's going to be in its own little universe. Now, if you want to watch something that's close to the original manga, you got PGSM, the live action. Yes, it was campy. Yes, it was silly. But it kept as close to the manga as possible before it went on in its own little storyline. I see the same thing happening with Sailor Moon Crystal. It's going to be true to the manga. There's going to be, I wouldn't call it filler, but expanding. Because if you sit there and you read the manga from start to finish, you can finish that whole manga in about 2-3 weeks, because you have to understand Sailor Moon was a monthly thing. Right. There was a lot of things that happened in the manga that wasn't really touched on. So I think while they still do the Monster of the Day, which I don't think is going to be every episode, but they're going to take some time to explain and go a little bit into detail about certain things that Naoko could not do originally. And to also follow up with what Mako said, as the animators have said, the producers and directors have said, Crystal is not a remake of the original anime. The anime is its own universe. PGSM is its own universe. The manga is its own universe. Crystal is its own universe. The only thing that all four of these series will have in common is pretty much how the Inner Senshi was brought in. That's pretty much what it's going to be.
Okay. Because the thing that kind of throws me off about it is, you know, for me, like, trying to keep the original look of the original anime, because that's what I was initially hoping that they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you ever saw the really short, like, 5-minute film that they did for Rumiko Takahashi. I forget what it was, like, celebrating, like, her work in It's a Rumiko World.
I remember seeing that, yes.
And it had the Urusei Yatsuru, Ranma one half, and Inuyasha, all three, the characters from those, all meeting up. And the way that the characters from Urusei Yatsuru and Ranma one half looked in this short film, which was made very recently, kept to the original anime look while just looking like it had a nice extra coat of paint to it. For me, seeing Sailor Moon Crystal the way it is right now, like, I'm a little bit, I don't want to say disappointed, but it's kind of throwing me off about just how the characters are going to move, how they're going to look, how it even kind of looks a little bit whitewashed when it comes to the coloring of the show, too.
Okay. Let me stop you right there for a second. But I understand where you're coming from. When I first saw the artwork, I was like, yes. And then I'm like, well, I grabbed the mangas, and I'm like, well, the way they did it, it came close. Because to be perfectly honest, I think if they did it exactly as how Nayoka would do, I think the animation would be a little bit sloppy, a little bit messy, you know? It just looks a cleaned up version of what she does. Okay. And I think from the trailer, you're going to see that. It's like her style with a bit of an updated look to it, you know? And I think as the episodes go on, you're going to see the quality getting better and better, which is why I believe Toei is only doing 2 episodes a month, because I don't think that they're done with the first season. They just need to buy themselves a little bit more time. And I feel after the season and the ratings, the next season will be a weekly thing.
Okay. Scarlett, what are your thoughts on it? I know we've talked about it on past episodes, but...
Yeah, I know. I mean, just, like, my thoughts marinate on this and just trying not to repeat anything. But I do agree with both Rom and Mako that I would like to see Sailor Moon Crystal to be its own thing. Also, I think in the same article they mentioned that it'll be due bottom 2014. So I'm kind of curious, like, how they're going to adapt, like, new technology into, like, their gadgets, because I'm watching the old series on Hulu. I just actually finished the one where Jedi gets all carbonated, gets frozen in carbonite right before the show. And, like, okay, I'm wondering what the communicators are going to look like, if they're going to have, like, Super Sailor Senshi smartphones. So, like, I just have, like, all these wheels in my turning, like, how you're going to update Sailor Moon. I mean, there's a lot of excitement to it. And they also mentioned that they're going to update the fashion to reflect 2014. So I'm like, so Mamoru is not going to be badly dressed. But I do like the art style. I do like the feel of it. I'm keeping an open mind, and I'll just wait to make any final judgments until I see the first episode. Because when the character designs came, I'm like, okay, these are character designs. Things could change between now and then. Because as we know with video games, when you release concept art, it's not always the final art.
All right.
So that's just my 2 cents on that. But otherwise, just looking forward to it. And I'm also quite amused that the voice actor they got for Mamoru is the voice of Shiki Tono in the Tsukihime game. So I'm like, okay, Mamoru already having Type Moon and Sailor Moon fantasies in my head right now. So Arcueta, Sailor Moon, CLS, Mercury. So, like, my head is just, like, going in, like, fandom canon crossover universe right now, just thinking about that.
Excellent, yeah. So outside of Sailor Moon Crystal, because I know that's, like, the top one we're all looking forward to, is there another anime you guys are looking forward to this year?
Oh, yeah, I know there's one, but to throw back to Sailor Moon Crystal real quick and add to what Scarlett was saying, I'm kind of hoping they bring back Kape Yamaguchi to do the voice of Artemis. I know he wasn't the original voice in the anime, but he was Artemis in PGSM, and I'd love to see him do Artemis in the new anime. But
I do, too. I liked him as Artemis in the in PGSM.
Yes. But as for new stuff for this year, Space Dandy Season 2.
Yeah.
Seriously? It's a poor man's Cowboy Bebop. That's pretty much the best way to describe Space Dandy. That's what it is.
It's boobies. Hooray. It's anime hooters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what one I'm kind of looking forward to? And I know some people were kind of iffy on the second season of it, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Black Butler Book of Circuits.
I agree on that, too. I was one of those people that was meh on season 2 and meh after a certain point in the first season, because, like, the manga was doing its own thing as the anime was doing its own things. Like, I really like the Noah's Ark Circus arc. I wish I could see that animated, because I have so many ideas in my head to make AMVs out of that arc. I'm like, yes, finally, I can make my dream AMVs.
And, you know, I'm more excited too, because hopefully that means we're going to get more Grell. Because let's face it, Grell's like the coolest character on that show, in my opinion. Like, Grell should get his own spin-off show. I don't care what it is, it could just be Grell hosting his own talk show, with Sebastian being his, you know, announcer, but he's all chained up so he doesn't go anywhere.
Now I have these flashbacks to the Brack show back in Cartoon Network, but instead of Brack, it's Grell.
No, well, not the Brack show. I'm thinking more like it should be Black Butler meets Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Okay, there you go.
Wow.
But yeah, oh my god, Grell is the Brack of the Black Butler world. I never thought of that.
I was never really into Grell. I like Grell as a character, don't get me wrong, but where everybody goes crazy over Grell, I didn't go crazy over Grell. I went crazy over The Undertaker.
Really?
Yes. So and especially with how the manga has turned out, I like those kind of wacky people that end up being villains and then they're freaking badass. So I'm looking forward to that, because that's part of what you should be seeing in this. Like, you start seeing what the hell is going on, and I can't wait.
All right. Is there any other ones that you're looking forward to, too?
Okay, I don't know what the name of the title is, but it's the one that's about terrorists. I think you guys know the name of this. It's just escaping my mind right now.
It's the new one from Shinichiro Watanabe, right?
Yes.
Terror and Resonance.
Yes, that one. The trailer looks really interesting. It has a lot of imagery that relates to 9/11, but at the same time, I'm keeping an open mind and just accepting that, just the fact that, like, okay, I'll just leave it to interpretation when the first episode comes out.
Well, it's got Watanabe. He's teaming up again with Yoko Kanno. You know it's going to be good. It's going to be interesting, and you know it's going to be good. Because when the two of them get together to make magic, it winds up being just so surreal. I don't know if you guys ever watched Kids on the Slope, but that was such a great show, and it was about jazz music. And that really surprised me to see Watanabe do a show so slice of life and about, you know, growing up listening to music, playing that sort of music. So hopefully doing another show kind of a similar slice of life feel, but with a more psychological type of twist to it. I'm hoping that it brings that sort of, you know, magic that we usually see from Watanabe. I know, Mako-chan, you were trying to say something earlier before Scarlett did.
I apologize.
No, it's okay. There are actually a couple of them that are coming out that I'm looking forward to. One of them is Bakumatsu Rock.
Bakumatsu
Rock. It takes place in the middle 19th century, the Shogun era. And basically, it's a music anime mixed with, you know, brainwashing and things like that. So it's rock and roll with a history twist. So it kind of reminds me of, I haven't seen anything about it being a comedy, but it kind of reminds me of Samurai Champloo.
So with rock and roll instead of rap.
Yeah, where it's got that history in there and, you know, there's something going on. There's something in the background that they're trying to deal with, but it's got that, you know, that music in there to really get people into it. The other two that I'm looking forward to, Tokyo ESP and Tokyo Ghoul, because I'm into that fantasy, supernatural, horror kind of thing. So that is like right up my alley with anime.
All right, fantastic. All right, guys, thank you again for joining me here on this episode of No Borders, No Race. Why don't I ask for all of our listeners out there, like, where's the best place for you guys, for everyone to check out your websites and shows? Ranma, you go first with your promotions.
All right, let me break out this tone real quick. All right, seriously, you can find Anime Jam Session Tuesdays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on VOG Network. Encore's Thursdays at 1, and the podcast will be up Fridays on iTunes. And if you can't find us through VOG, you can find us at AnimeGMSession.com.
All right. Mako-chan, do you have anything else to add to that?
Well, mostly what he said, but VOG has a lot of different podcasts, so anything that you're really into geeky, whether it's sci-fi or movies, books, anything like that, there's something on the VOG network for you.
All right, and Scarlett, go ahead.
Yeah, you can check out Scarlett Rhapsody at www.scarlett-rhapsody.com. You can follow us on Facebook, just search for Scarlett Rhapsody, and we're on there. You can follow us on Twitter at Scarlett Rhapsody. And when you check out our website, you can listen into podcasts on anime conventions, video games, pop culture, and so much more.
All right, excellent. Guys, thank you again for joining me on here. And I hope you guys have a great week.
You too.
All right.
Broski.
You're welcome. This next band I'm about to play showed me that women can rock harder than their male counterparts. It's Tsushima Mirai, who are celebrating their 15th anniversary this year with a best of album called Mirai. Here's a song that made me fall in love with Mari Yayoi Izui all those years ago. From Pregnant Fantasy, this song is called Tea Time Ska.
Thank you. 娘は私にお茶を入れてくれたことなど一度もないのです。
Goodbye
Just me, chan.
Foster the People with Best Friend off of this year's Supermodel album. Such a fun record that is. I still can't believe Rolling Stone only gave it 2 stars. I mean, seriously, what the hell is wrong with you guys? Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. And also, don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade. And of course, there's all the other shows under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. Thanks again to DJ Ranma, Mako-chan, and Scarlett for showing up on this episode. Please do yourselves a favor and visit the websites for Anime Jam Session and Scarlet Rhapsody. They're some of the smartest anime and cosplay folks out there. Now, if we can just get the Wicked Anime dudes in all together, we'll have one epic show. But, you know, maybe next time, though. We're going to be ending today's episode with the late, great Nujabes, who left the world way too soon a couple years ago. Fortunately, he left behind some great melodies that are still to this day being released in very Tupac fashion. Some of these cuts were put together for a posthumous album back in 2011 called Spiritual State. Accompanied by rapper Substantial, this song is called Waiting for the Clouds. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. Substantial and Nujabes, I still doing this. And it's infinite. Hide out, bro, yo, let's get into it. Waiting for the clouds to part. Waiting to be out of the dark. If our future's bright, then the present is an overcast. And we want it to be over fast. Let's shine. Gotta get above the clouds without an aircraft. That is without a doubt such a rare task. Finding it hard to grin or just share laughs. So you vent when that drumstick and snare clash. No plan B. Plan A's weak, mentally and physically drained, and you can't sleep. Rinse a month overdue as of last week. A shadow of your future self below a vast peak. While people walk past like they can't speak, ignored, cause without rich shit, you piss poor, quit more, drowning your spirit with liquor. Victor isn't a realistic picture, but you still take a shot and develop it for the hell of it. And pray when you wait, you'll be relevant. And put your best on, you're no longer worse off. Slaving at a job you hate for. Jerk off. You just wanna be kissed by the sun, but your daughter's always safe in the midst of having fun. Having someone more to do when you used to have it done. Disregard the chatter from knowing those who haven't won while you're waiting for the clouds to part. Waiting till we got the dark. Yeah, if our future's right, then the present is an open pass. If we want it to be over fast, let's shine. Waiting for the clouds to part. Waiting till we got the dark. Yeah, if our future's right, then the present is an open pass. If we want it to be over fast, let's shine. Let's shine. Let's shine. Let's shine. Let's shine. Let's shine. Parents couldn't do the job they signed up for. Gave you life, but they should've gave you much more. Won't judge, but I surely won't applaud them. They lost and somebody gotta raise the child for them. Now you're in and out of various households. Newbie cross paths and ghetto fab. The white collar emoji who answer the call of duty. Or is it truly for reject? But regardless of their motives, they feel you own respect. You don't know how to act like you got a part in a movie but lack direction. I knew you show love and you never had affection. Dying slow, bruh, like you got a bad infection. Ain't no band-aid for man-made self-hate. It heals slow, but I'm not sure if you'll wait. Education, the medication to get yourself straight. The war within you reaches cellmate, but good. Gotta win in the end, or else jail waits. Broken soul, cellmates, followed by hell's gates. Bad apples, tell your weights in the belly of the beast. And it's never gonna cease till you choose to elevate. I'm ready when you are to celebrate. Till then, I'll be waiting for the clouds to part. Waiting till we got the dark. Yeah, if our future's right, then the present is an open.